Well, let's ask the Lord to guide us, and we're going to be looking at his word. All right. Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for how you are the great creator God. And even though I do really appreciate how you have brought us into existence and have made each one of us, I know that that's the secondary thing that you've done compared to the giving of your son and the saving of our souls at great cost to yourself. That is just beyond compare. And Lord, we just thank you for the great and awesome God you are, so involved in our world, so caring of each soul you've made. And thank you that you are real and can be known through your son. And tonight, Lord, when I COVID, you helped me do some sermons, and I pray that you would help this message tonight as we look at the book of Jonah, the first half of it, that you would help us and you would minister to us through your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us to guide us into all the truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to begin by speaking about how in 2003, around that time, Colin and I were involved in planning, I think it was our first mission trip. And some of you have heard this story, and this is going up to the Pilbara. We wanted to go up to the Pilbara to help Ross and Helen Norling. Both of them are now in glory. But at that time, they were both alive, and they were up there in the Pilbara, in the hot Pilbara, ministering to Aboriginal people. Now, the reason why God put it on our heart to go up, and that's how it needs to be, not just something you do, is because we found out that life up there was pretty hard. The church had been burnt down. There was some feuding in the church, and some families got involved, and they actually burnt the church down. So then it took some time to... When I say the church, of course, the church building. The church is the people. But the church building got burned down. And then finally, after insurance money came through, they built a new building. And we got there around the time of the new building was almost ready to go. It's like ours. You look around, it's great, but it's also quite messy still. It's still not finished off yet. Well, that's how theirs was. The whole yard was in a state. So we went up there to be servants. Roll up the sleeves and get into work. But we also took our puppets up there and we did ministry with our puppets. And we had a phenomenal time. I'm not going to get into this, but it was incredible. As you see God using our group to actually bring reconciliation amongst the Aboriginal people. It was like a little mini revival. Incredible. I won't go into it, but it was the most amazing trip. So we knew that it was of God for us to go. So what I want to share with you though is Ross. So Ross, knowing me a little bit, he wanted to share his heart with me. So he began to share with me the ups and downs of ministry. That's great, isn't it? Especially the ups, not the downs, but I don't know, telling me about how life can be. And he's telling me all these different stories, good and bad. And then he comes to this story, and I know some of you might have heard this before, where he was telling me how he just had enough being in the Pilbara. And so he decided that I'm going to go on furlough, which means a missionary taking holidays. And he decided to go from the red, hot, dusty Pilbara to the lush, green state of Victoria. All right, bit of a contrast. What do you reckon? So that's where he went. And he's becoming very comfortable in Victoria. In fact, he's so comfortable there, he's telling the Lord, "Lord, I would love to do ministry here. Anything, I will do ministry here." And he knew the Lord was saying, "Nah, you need to go back to the Pilbara." All right, so he's in a rural Victoria, walking along a wide river. He's walking along, and you won't believe this, God has a sense of humour, I tell you. As he's looking at the river, having an argument with God, that's not good because you're going to lose. You should know that. You're going to lose, right? Well, anyway, he's looking at this river, and all of a sudden, this is the most absurd thing, he sees a whale in the river. It's not far from the ocean. A whale is in the river. And he just could hear in his head God saying to him, "We can do this the easy way or the hard way." All right. He knew the story of Jonah. And that was it. On his knees he was. "No, I'm not going to do a Jonah. I voluntarily go back." And he did go back, and Ross and Helen had a very special time before Helen became sick and she passed away, but they had a very fruitful time. But Ross told me that story, you know, how we can be. We can be in discussion with the Lord and not wanting to do His will. And we need to remember we've got to give in to His will. His will is best. And he can, like we're going to look in the story of Jonah, he can make it be the hard way for us. So what do you reckon? Here we are, we're going to get into the story of Jonah. We're going to look at the first half of Jonah, which is about the running prophet. What a title, the running prophet. But he's running from God. He's running away from God, running away from God's will. That's what we'll be looking at. And then next week, God willing, we'll be looking at the raging prophet. Well, what's that about? Well, you have to wait and see. Raging against, believe it or not, God. So we'll find out about that next week. There's so much to learn about in Jonah. Is that I can't help but have a bit of a laugh when I read the story of Jonah. I don't know if you can relate to Jonah. I can in some ways. I've never had the same experiences as he has had in terms of the full-on experience. But there's so much to learn from the story of Jonah. So let's begin. And if you have your Bibles, we'll turn to chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Only four chapters, easy to read right through. And we'll read the first two verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So God, who sees everything, he sees the people of Nineveh have become very wicked. And look at the heart of God. He actually wants to send Jonah to Nineveh. Why? To call them to repentance so that they might be spared judgment. And one of the big things in the book of Jonah is about the mercy of God. And so God, the wickedness, when the wickedness rises like that, it means it's so wicked that God has to take action. But instead of taking action in terms of destroying them, he wants to give them opportunity to, what's that word we should know about? Repent. Repent, that means change direction. Instead of doing my own thing, I turn in the direction of the Lord. So God was going to send Jonah to do that. Okay, so the next verse, verse 3, everyone knows what happened. Hopefully you do. It's not a new story to you. In verse 3 we read, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He's doing a runner. All right, so he's running away from God. First thing I think of is, what are you thinking, Jonah? What is wrong with your theology? You can't run away from God. If you're an astronaut and go to the moon, you're going to find God there. God's everywhere. So what's Jonah thinking? But he's thinking that he can run away from God, and not only that, he can run away from doing the Lord's will. And I don't know if you know where Tarshish is. Joppa is on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea, in Israel's land, and Tarshish is pretty much Gibraltar, Spain, on the western end of the Mediterranean Sea. He's going to the ends of the earth, pretty much for them, away from the presence of the Lord and away from doing God's will. Now, why does Jonah not want to obey God and go to Nineveh? Because Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are really bad people who were constantly coming and, you know, destroying and raiding and plundering the people of Israel. So when Jonah heard God say to him, "Go to Nineveh and call them to repentance," he's saying to himself, "No way, Jose. I'm not giving those people a chance. I want the Lord to strike them down. I'm not going." So that's how he felt. What do you reckon? So he didn't go. Didn't want to go. So Jonah runs away. Now, it's always important to relate the things we look at in the Bible to our life. Okay, so none of us have been asked to go to Nineveh, but I tell you what, pretty much I could guarantee this. We've all disobeyed the Lord in some way. There's times when we have not wanted to do what God is calling us to do. And I want to broaden it to consider lots of things. Some of the common things that we can really struggle with are things like where we need to go to somebody and ask for their forgiveness. We can just go, no way, Jose, I'm not doing that. Or it could be something else where God wants us to go and help somebody, and I don't know what it is, we might just say no, you know, because we're proud or something like that, or because we don't like that person. But also, like in the situation of Jonah, we can be a runner running away from opportunities that God gives us to preach the gospel. And I reckon this is a very common thing for many Christians. We don't run into opportunities, we're sort of running away from opportunities. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes we might think, well, it's not my ministry. That's the pastor's job, the missionary's job. I'm not qualified. I might mess it up. There's all these reasons. We can be like a Moses. God's saying to Moses, you go to Egypt. And what's Moses doing? Giving all these excuses why he shouldn't be the one to go. And we can be like that. So we're doing like a Jonah. We're running away from doing what God wants us to do. So how are you about that? We can have some discussion after the sermon. Think through times in your own life where, I know I have some, in fact, if I think about it, many times when I have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Yeah, because I wasn't keen on what God was impressing upon me. And it's important for us to realize that, and how wrong that is, and to ask for forgiveness. Okay, so let's have a look now at what happens. So in verse 4, we read, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up." Some serious storm. I love the way it's just put there, like it's a huge storm, huge wind. The ship is about to break up. That is serious, isn't it? Picture yourself on the ship. How would you be feeling, eh? You'd be going, they didn't have swimming lessons in those days. They'd be thinking, that's it, we're going to die. That'd be panic stations. And it says in verse 5, "Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God." All these false gods they believed in. "And they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them." Okay, so they're doing everything they can to keep the ship afloat. You know, it's not low in the water from all the cargo. So that's a lot of money being thrown overboard. All the cargo is being thrown overboard. And then it says, "But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, laid down, and had fallen sound asleep." How can that happen? How can he be having a sound sleep? That's what it says. Tell you what, it wasn't a sound sleep because he was right with God. You know what kind of sleep this one is? A sleep of exhaustion. Because it takes a lot of effort to resist God. That's what it would have been. He is exhausted. There's a psalm about this in Psalm 32. It says in verses 3 and 4, David says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away, as with the fever heat of summer." That's what happens when we keep pushing God away. We get exhausted. So don't think Jonah's having a nice sound sleep from the Lord, a peaceful sleep. He's just exhausted. And by the way, he's sleeping. Everyone, hands on deck. They're worried about dying. He's not worried. He doesn't care. That's how Jonah felt. So he's in this bad state. So this is what happens. Have you picked this up? When you say no to God, you should pick up on things like, there's something not right with me and God. You know, I'm not going too good. And we should pick up the signs, because God's seeking to bring us back to where we should be. Okay, so we get to verse 6, and we read, "So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you are sleeping?'" I can imagine the captain, "What is going on? Why are you sleeping? All right, get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." All right, so the captain wanted Jonah to get up. And verse 7 says, "Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.'" Well, that's such a superstitious activity. I mean, that doesn't mean anything, does it? But I tell you what, it's amazing what God can use. Because the next thing we read, so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. I often think, God must be just smiling in heaven. Oh, you watch this, what's going to happen? Here we go. All eyes are going to be on Jonah. Alright, so that's what happens. And verse 8 says, then they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? They had a lot of questions. What do you reckon? Jonah, what have you done? Alright. So what's amazing is in the next answer, he just is blunt and he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Now, we might not pick up on this, but let me tell you, because the next verse says, verse 10, then the men became extremely frightened. Now, why are they extremely frightened? Okay, a bit of an understanding of their day. In their day, they actually did believe that there probably is some big God. A big God who is distant and removed. And we operate by following these little gods. These little gods. The God of this land here, the God of this people here. And that's how they thought. So when they hear from Jonah that Jonah has rebelled against the big God, they're going, no way. Are you crazy, man? The big God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, they realize how serious it is. And they are now really frightened that Jonah has upset the big God. There's only one God. But they take it really serious. So that's why verse 10 says, then the men became extremely frightened and they said to him, how could you do this? You have to understand that. How could you do this against the big God who made everything? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And in your Bible, Lord is the word used there is Yahweh. That is the great title for God, Yahweh, the God Yahweh means I am who I am. That's the great God, the only God. So the men become really frightened. So what do you think so far? Jonah, he's in trouble now. What do you reckon? The lots have been cast. He's the problem. He's confessed. He's even been told by the sailors, what is wrong with you? All right, these pagan sailors are reprimanding him. What are you doing? Okay, so let's keep reading. Jonah's a fantastic book, isn't it? Great, great story. And here we go, verse 11. So they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. So all this conversation time is getting worse, all right? So it's not abating, it's getting worse. So they're desperate. What should we do? All right. It should have been Jonah. He should have been saying, oh, look, it's my fault. I'm going to, what's the word that God loves? What does he love to see? Repentance. Should have been Jonah saying, I repent. But no, it's not. It's the sailors asking, what shall we do? All right. So verse 12, Jonah said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Blimmin' heck, what's wrong with him? He is nowhere near repentance. He just wants to die, doesn't he? He wants to perish. Wow, what a running Jonah, running well away from God. So, he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Wow, Jonah knew exactly what's going on. He knew, this is God. I haven't run away from God. God has caught up with me and he's brought this great storm upon the sea. Now verse 13, the men are decent men. It says in verse 13, however, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Everything they tried is just getting worse and worse. In verse 14 says, then they called on the Lord. That's really interesting. They're not calling on their false gods now. They're calling on Yahweh. They're calling on the big God. And it says in verse 14, we earnestly pray, O Lord, that's Yahweh, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. What do you think of that? So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. I tell you what, if I was a sailor, I don't know how about you, I'd be completely freaked out by now. Like, throw Jonah off, that feels terrible to do that. Oh well, he said so. We've asked God to forgive us. We throw Jonah out, there's massive oceans, and then suddenly they come. Wow. What do you reckon? So what happens is incredible. It says, then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Well, how do you take that? These people became believers. God used Jonah, sin, the running away Jonah, to help these men come to know the real God. God is sovereign. God can use a donkey like Balaam. God can use all sorts of situations, even our stuff-ups, to bring about incredible things. Don't deliberately mess up, but the fact is God is sovereign. And what a wonderful thing that God shows mercy to these sailors, he spares them, and they have a glimpse of the glory of the great and awesome God. They come to believe. They make sacrifices to God. They are serious in honouring the Lord. Okay, so, and then verse 17, just one verse. What a verse. Everyone in Sunday school would know this verse. And it says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. He is kept alive by God. And some of you have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. I find it quite funny. If I was God, I'm glad I'm not, I would have appointed a great white shark to chop Jonah up, because I would have had enough of Jonah. Are you in the same camp as me? But not our God. The whole book of Jonah is actually not about the prophet Jonah. It's actually about the mercy of God. So God has not let go of Jonah. God has pursued Jonah and spares Jonah. That's incredible love, isn't it? Because he's an annoying prophet, if you ask me. But God is so merciful. I want you to think about God's mercy in your life. How many times have you messed it up? And you've experienced God's incredible mercy. You know you don't deserve it. You know he should just give up on you. But he doesn't. He continues to pursue you and to bring you back. That's the great God we love and adore. He's like no other. So, that's all part of the running Jonah. So now we're going to be looking at the next part of Jonah. And we're going to... He's running away. We've seen God reproving Jonah. And now we're going to continue. And we're going to look at something that's incredible that happens in chapter 2, verse 1. So Jonah's alive. We believe it probably was a big whale, because whales have that ability where they have air inside them. So Jonah's able to survive in the belly of a great whale. It doesn't say a whale, it says a big fish. In the Hebrew language, they didn't have the vocabulary we have to identify all sorts of creatures. So there's Jonah. Doesn't matter, great fish, whale. And let's read what happens. So Jonah has now what's he going to do? What would you do if you were Jonah? Well, let's find out. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. I love that. So Jonah picks up on what he's done, how serious it is, and how he's really upset God and done the wrong thing, and he prays. And what we're going to find out is Jonah repents. Jonah repents before God. That's the very thing that God so longs for. So let's have a read of it. So he prays to God. And I love this. He's running away from God. He gets swallowed by the great fish. And now he's talking to God. And he knows, he's realizing that God is present with him in the belly of the great fish. Because you can't run away from God. Remember Psalm 139? Psalm 139 speaks about that. God knows everything, even our thoughts before we speak them. Doesn't matter where you run. You can't outrun God, you can't run away from God, no way. And Jonah is now speaking to God from the belly of the great fish. And you've got to remember, in his mind, in Jonah's mind, being a Jewish person, he's thinking of the presence of God is contained only in the temple. You know, in the temple. But he's so wrong. God is present everywhere. His glory is seen in the temple, but his presence is throughout the whole universe. And so he's praying to God, and this is his prayer. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Isn't that merciful of God? Why would God even answer Jonah? He's rebelled against the Lord, but God answers him. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol, and you heard my voice. I want you to pick up on that. Jonah understands the mercy of God to him. That's something so special. In my life, I think the greatest thing about God for me is his incredible grace and mercy. So rich, so undeserved. It surpasses anything I can think of. And this is what Jonah is describing to us here. He can't imagine, he can't just take it in, it's just too much. He cries out and God hears him. Wow. And then it says in verse 3, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. He's picturing all these waves are just dumping him in the ocean. And he said in verse 4, so I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. So he's picking up that I've been expelled from your presence. But Jonah knows something deep down. What does he know deep down? Our God's a merciful God. That's why he says, nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Because he knew that this mercy was the Lord. Verse 5, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. So he's going down, right? What picture language? He is going down into the seaweed. He's a goner. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. What he's saying is a big fish got, I was sinking down, more than just on the surface. I'm going down. I am a dead person. And God sent the great fish to swallow me just when I almost had my last breath. What an incredible God. Wow. This is phenomenal. Okay. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. That's his prayer. And you just see it's all about repentance and saying sorry to God and recommitting himself to the Lord and vowing himself to the Lord. And that's exactly what God always wants. That's the response he wants from Ian and from you. When we don't obey him, when we choose to disobey what he's calling us to do, when we get caught up into sin, God's great heart for us, his people, is always, turn back to me. Turn back to me. And I don't know if you've ever read through the Minor Prophets. That's during a horrible time in Israel's history. I think the recurring phrase in all the minor prophets of the Old Testament is that phrase. Return unto me, says the Lord. Why would God say that? Because he's truly merciful. He wants us to turn back and he will forgive us and heal us. And so this is exactly what Jesus taught us. So it's bringing us into the New Testament. How many of us remember what Jesus preached? What was his preaching all about as he walked this earth? It begins and ends with this. What did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was the master in calling people to turn back to God, to turn away from their sins, from their waywardness, and back to the living God, back to God through him. And it's something that every Christian should be aware of. That's something that is to be ongoing in our life. It doesn't just something we do when we get saved, but it's an ongoing thing throughout all our days, because we are the ones who go astray and we are the ones who are to turn back. And we are to be so, so thankful. Our God is a God of incredible mercy and grace. Oh, that he would want us back. Isn't that incredible? Oh, that he would be forgiving. How amazing it is that he should be willing to do that. So Jonah isn't chomped up by a great white. He's given another opportunity. And if I was God, I would have probably gone for someone else. That's it, Jonah's done his dash, I'll get someone else. No, he persevered with Jonah, as he perseveres with us. So the last verse tonight we're going to look at is verse 10. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. It would be messy. But he's alive. And he gets, onto the beach, probably somewhere in Israel. And you've got to remember, despite all how graphic it might be, God is giving Jonah another opportunity to obey the Lord. There's an old hymn we used to sing a lot. I wonder which one I'm thinking of? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's not a phrase to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift that we receive through repentance and faith in Christ. But to be happy in Jesus, to be blessed in Jesus, to know his peace and joy in our life, then we need to be trusting and obeying. And when we're not obeying, we shall find it difficult. We're pushing against God, and God will do things to bring us back. He might do a Jonah thing, hopefully not. You don't want to go the hard way. But sometimes he does do the hard way because we're so stubborn. We're so resistant to his will. Hopefully we can learn very quickly and it's not too painful for us. Is that what you hope? That's what I hope for. Yeah. You know, there's a verse, I don't know if I've got it here. I have a verse, another verse. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. I think, for me, in Romans, this is a very special verse for me. It says, Romans 2 verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not realizing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Why did I read that out? God so often can break us and bring us back to himself just as we begin to comprehend how kind he is to us. But sometimes we can be so stubborn, God has to use more than his kindness. He's got to use storms, big fish, and all sorts of things. But in all of it, look at his love for Jonah. He hasn't given up on Jonah. He's bringing him back to repentance to use him. So what do you think of our God? What a glorious story that highlights the wonder of our God. He's like no other. He's incredible. I'm so glad you're not God. I'm so glad I'm not God. There is one God, and his character is without blemish. It is beautiful. We call him holy. He's the holy God. He's like no other. I love the story of Jonah. But we have to wait till next week, God willing, for the second half. All right. So trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for, in your holy word, the inspired word of truth. We thank you for this little book of Jonah. And even though, as I read this story, I have a few laughs about all the things that are happening, and yet I know that it's there not to have a smile on my face, but to realize, wow, what an incredible God you are. And thank you for the lessons we learn as we go through this story. And we thank you for Jonah. He's just he's a prophet, but he's also just another man, and a man like all of us, faulty. And he failed you. He turned his back on you and ran in the opposite direction. But Lord, what a God you are to pursue him and to bring him back and to give him another chance to listen to your call and to obey you. I thank you for the mercy that you have shown each of us. I know my own life. Thank you for the incredible mercy and grace you've shown me again and again. Thank you for your heart. And Lord, I just thank you that you never give up. I praise you for your great character. Yeah, Lord, thank you for tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.